learned that this month we're going to prepare for you this morning. So would you welcome, warm me, Christina Bayanas. No other Lord is omnipotent and omnipresent. that you should lie. He does not change his mind. If you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart, because he speaks to us. I boast that the God of the Bible is the living God, the maker, not me, the immovable mover. And what does this living God require of us? What are his commandments? Are they burdensome? He is the only God, the only God, who gave of himself his own son, the gave a price for us, so that we might have a relationship. This God draws people near to him. They don't stay far away. He desires that we seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. He commands us to love one another and love him. I boast that the God of the Bible is the eternal King. He is the King of heaven and the King, and he sits on a throne encircled by a rainbow like an emerald. He shows faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. And while our God is to be offered favor and love from her hand, the right hand of our God has righteousness. He gives it. Christians bring his kingdom to the earth, even as we wait for Jesus' return where righteousness will dwell. Today, we bring offerings to this God, joyfully, freely. There's nothing you can do to buy his favor. There's nothing you can do to buy his love. It's given freely as a gift to receive. So as you return the tithe and present an offering, listen for this God's voice. He's living, he's active, he'll speak to you on what to give. There are three quick and easy ways to give, as you can see on the screen behind me. However you choose to give, please do so sharing with your belief. Ushers, please bring the baskets to the front, because the Bible says to join your tithe and offering. Even if you choose to give electronically, we are Christian. Pastors ask that you would go to that on your slip and present yourself to the Lord. If so many people have given that there are no more envelopes near you, just raise your hand and an usher will bring one to you. So if you're a member, please give and then greet the guest. Guests, you're under no obligation to give unless the Lord tells you to, because we're listening for the voice of the living God. But don't be surprised. People are going to come up to you, they're going to greet you. Probably shake your hand and give you a hug. They might put something in your hand. Just receive that as a gift, as a given. You don't need to put it in the basket. So, members, when you're ready, and we do that because of our culture of giving. The Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be, and you want our hearts to be with you. So, members, when you're ready, please come and give and present yourself to the Lord.
Bless you.
Everybody knows.
It's not stealing, it's borrowing. For like 5 minutes. Did you write it all down? Thank you.
She started this business.
grow, and I'm sure that it will be a benefit to you. The seats are going to be limited. We are going to be opening it to other churches and to other business people. So we hope that as soon as we let registrations begin, that you will be the first ones to put your name in. We're going to have a dinner that night so that you can feast as well, and so that you can plan ahead. But make sure that if you have any interest at all, remember, you can always say, it wasn't that worth it. But if you miss it and you wish you were there, that's not going to be a good thing. So make sure that you're not missing ingredient in your miracle, all right? That's on the 26th of January. You've got more than a month of time ahead, and we hope that you will invest in yourself to be there. You just want to change your life, all right? Anyway, some great things coming up, and we're excited that you'll be a part of it. So again, 19th and 26th morning and evening, and God's going to do amazing things at this church and in your lives as well. Well, we want to turn our kids' class teachers loose on this side over here, and then we'll let the kids meet them in just a moment. All right, kids, you can go ahead and meet your kids' class teachers. Father, we just pray that you would bless these teachers, that you would bless these kids. God, that you would cause them to be multiplied and to work, God, to be rich in their hearts and in their lives. Teach them to walk in your ways so that the world will not depart from it. We bless them now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I just want to say one last thing before I get into the message for today. For those of you that have been desiring to do the Compass Course, which is like our basic for believers course, the 6 lessons is a great course. Even if you've been serving the Lord for the last 100 years, if you are new to this church, we want you to go through the Compass Course. That is your first step that you should take after coming to church on a weekly basis. You should take the Compass Course. And we have traditionally done it person to person or couple to couple, but in some ways, everyone's schedule has just been so busy that it's difficult to do. And so we're going to try something new. So coming up, we're going to be having a connect group, maybe even 2 connect groups, where you can attend that connect group and you can go through the Compass Course. We'll let you know the details on that when the next session of connect group starts so that you can attend that and then you can go right back to your normal connect group. Speaking of connect groups, if you're not a part of a connect group, it is a place where you can get your felonies met. You will be prayed for if you want to. You can share, you can be the expert on your own answers. You don't have to be a theological genius. You can build deep relationships and you can have a whole lot of fun. And if your group is on the right days, you'll have amazing food also. And so make sure that you're a part of the connect group. It is the principal focus of this church. Beyond going to Bible colleges, beyond doing all the other things that might be on the calendar, we want you to connect at a connect group. If you're not a part of the connect group yet, or you have no idea where they're happening, you can find it right on our app. You can go to our welcome center and talk to Teresa. She will direct you because Teresa is good at directing people, and she will show you where you can connect up. It will be a blessing in your life. And if you're not sure whether or not you want to go, just let me tell you, you want to go. And you want to be a part of it because it will be a blessing in your life. So don't forget to get connected to the connect group. If you need notes today, you can either look in our app, you can go right onto our website, and you can download the PDF if you want to, or you can grab notes if they're available still at the Welcome Center. They may already be gone, but you can take notes today. All of my notes will be up on the screen behind me as well as scripture references, but I hope that you'll follow along in your Bible, because your Bible's right and my Bible's wrong, so that's why you need to make sure you're in your Bible. You guys ready? Here we go. I want to talk to you today about the fact that you are made for more. You are made for more. You know, most of us, I think at some point or another, maybe consistently in our life, we think to ourselves, there must be more to life than this. Anybody ever feel that? The rest of you all are lying. Don't lie in church. There must be more to life than this. There's got to be something that's better. How many of you would say that there's some area of your life right now that could be better than it is right now? I'm going to raise my hand to that one. Well, then I'm talking to the right crowd. Do you know that God has made you for more? We have that feeling in our heart because we're made for that. God made us with that desire to know that there has got to be more to life than this. When you don't think that there's any more, you don't look for it anymore, right? If you went to an Easter egg hunt and they told you there's only one egg, the moment that the person found the one egg, you're not going to look for any more eggs unless you're just a little bit crazy. It's kind of like, you know where you find your keys? The last place you look. You know why? Because if you find your keys and you keep looking, you are crazy. You always find them in the last place that you look, am I right? You see, God created you with that desire in your heart that there is got to be more to life than this. And you're absolutely right. There is more to life than this. I want to point you to a couple of scriptures. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I'm going to read this out of a translation of the Bible called the Weiss New Testament. It's called an expanded translation. And the general idea of how it works is that Mr. Weiss, Kenneth Weiss, took the Bible and he went back to the original language in Greek, and because it's just the New Testament, so it's in Greek. And so he went in there, and for every English word, there is sometimes more words that are necessary to describe what that one Greek word means. If you know anything about translation, what you'll notice that there aren't exact bits of words in many languages when you translate from one language to another. So you might have to convey an idea rather than just the word. And that's what this translation is all about. In the Weiss New Testament, it says this in Ephesians 3:20. Now to the one who is able to do beyond all things, super abundantly beyond. How do you like that word? Super abundantly. Super abundantly beyond and over and above those things that we are asking for ourselves and considering. In the measure of a power which is operative, that means it's working in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus into all the generations of the age of the ages. Amen. In the King James Version of the Bible, it says this, now unto him who is able to do, listen, exceeding abundantly, above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within you. Beyond what you can even imagine. That's what God is able to do. That's why you have this desire in you for more, because there's more. It's beyond what you can even imagine. And when you get to the edge of your imagination and you can see further, guess what? God can do beyond that too. Maybe you've heard it said before, if we can see further, it's because we stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, when you get to see a little bit further, God's there already. God's already beyond that already. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Or in this translation, he's able to go beyond all things, super abundantly beyond, and over and above those things that you're even considering. You haven't even considered how great it might be. In John chapter 10, verse 10, in the Amplified Version of the Bible, it says this, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. I came, this is Jesus talking, I came that they may have and enjoy life. Say enjoy life. Do you know that Jesus, you know the Jesus of the Bible, the one that you've seen, you know, hanging on the cross and looking all miserable and broken, the reason why he looked like that was so that you could enjoy life. He didn't cause you to, he doesn't want you in religious bondage, you know what I'm talking about? Like, Jesus didn't want you to come to church so it could suck for the rest of your life. And that's like the Bible translation right there. He didn't come so that your life would be terrible. He didn't say, come to church so I could suck all of the enjoyment out of you until the day you die. Jesus came so that you could enjoy life. And so that you could have it in abundance. That means have life in abundance. You've probably heard it said before, it's not adding years to your life, it's adding life to your years. God wants you to have more life in your years. He wants you to live your life full and have it in abundance. To the full, till it overflows. You know, while we were in worship today, I was just thinking to myself, God, you're so good. You're so good. You've been so good to me. That as you've changed me and as my personality and as everything, empty and hurting and broken so that my life can spill over into them and make them better than they are. Not because I'm awesome, but because the thing that fills me, his name is Jesus, is awesome. He wants you to enjoy life. Can you just pause for a moment? The Bible calls it Selah. It means like to just pause, shut up for a moment. I said shut up in church, get over it. Like, just be quiet for a moment. Think about that. That Jesus wants you to enjoy life. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't want you to just make it like skid marks to heaven. He wants you to enjoy life while you're here. And that's the reason why he died. And I'm going to say it this way. I think that if we're not enjoying life, number one, that we can. And number two, that we're cheapening what Jesus did on the cross. We're cheapening his suffering because he suffered so that you could enjoy. You know what I'm saying? It's like that last portion of sashimi. Right? That I choose not to eat so that you can have it. And then if you're just like, you just leave it there, I'm going to be a little bit upset with you that I did not eat it instead of you just turning up your nose at it. You see, Jesus died and suffered so that you could enjoy life. Can you say amen? How many of you are glad that Jesus did that? I'm glad that he did that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 goes a little bit further and says it this way, but as it is written, eye has not seen. That means your eye has not seen it. Nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You know, Walt Disney was a visionary. He looked at it in orange orchards and he said something like, can you see it? Can you see it? And at that time, no, nobody could see it, but he could. Do you know that beyond what you can see, that beyond what's entered into your thoughts or even into your heart, that God sees an amazing plan for your life? There has got to be more to life than this. I'm telling you that what you're experiencing right now is beneath what you should be experiencing. What I want you to understand is that I'm not asking you to be dissatisfied with your life. What I'm asking you to do is find the secret of contentment. Here's the secret of contentment. That in every situation you are content. I'm good. That you can just look around and you can say, God, yeah, I'm good. But here's the difference. Is that God's not asking you to be satisfied. He wants you to be content, but dissatisfied. You know why? Because dissatisfaction causes hunger to come. I've got good news for you. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's the secret. You've got to stay hungry for the presence of God. You've got to stay hungry for the thing that's greater than what you're experiencing now. The moment that you get satisfied, you'll stop seeking. But you know what the Bible says? If you seek, then you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. And the door will be open unto you. By the way, these things are not in your notes. They're just fresh revelation. So you can write it in the margins or whatever you want to do. Can I just make sure that I'm as clear as possible by telling you this, that it's not about doing more. It's not about doing more. Because it's like, well, I need more. I have to do more. Don't listen up. It's not about doing more. It's not about doing more things. It's about doing the right thing. Truth bomb. It's about doing the right things. You can do a whole lot of things that are not the right things. For example, if we need to, say, wash our car, but what we do is that we spend all of our time cooking in the kitchen, well, then we've done more things, but we've not done the right things. It's like getting onto a treadmill and running when we really need to actually go somewhere. There's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of energy expended. The sweat is real, the toil is real, but the destination is not being reached. You understand what I'm saying? We have to do this all the time in our church so that we don't have what we call missional drift. In other words, that we understand what we're called to, we understand that our mission is such and such, but when we just add more probably got stoplights and such. I know most people don't obey them and they don't use their blinkers. Lord help them. But the whole point is so that you can stay on course. So that you can stay on course. It's not about doing more things. It's about doing the right things. Can I give you a word of wisdom that's not in your notes? Maybe some of you need to start to evaluate the things that you're doing in your life. And more is not always more. Sometimes less is more. Sometimes less is more. We talk about that all the time when it comes to music. Sometimes less is more. Not everybody is playing everything all the time. It's like making a pizza. You know, you can put all the cheese and all the meat and all the sauce. You can't put it all, otherwise it turns into pizza soup. Sometimes less is more. It's about boiling down. It's like you have essential oil. So I'm trying to put this in as many ways as I possibly can for you today. It's like essential oils. You can squeeze a rose and get some stuff out of it, but then you have to reduce that down to its most essential, that's why it's called essential oils, essential components that smell like a rose. You don't have all of the fruit stuff in there, that's why I don't drink lattes. I want coffee, not milk. Give me coffee. And all the latte lovers are like, right now you offended me. Oh, coffee, not milk. You see, you want to boil it down to its most essential parts. What is it that you're called to? What is your life mission? What is the story of your life? And if there's all this stuff that is not the story of your life, maybe you want to get rid of that. Get rid of the fluff and get to the heart of the matter. There is more to life than just doing more. It's not about doing more things, it's about doing the right things. Let me give you an illustration. Accuracy by volume is not a good lifestyle. Let me give you an illustration. This is what it looks like. Go ahead and go back. Yeah, there you go. All right. Imagine your life is a target. That there is a targeted goal. See, because Jesus says, I know the plans that I have for you. In other words, I have a bullseye. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have towards you, but we have to be able to hit it. Let me give you an illustration. Precise. So up in the left side there, you see precise. You see this group of bullet holes, I guess they are, and you see that they're all really close together. They're precise. You notice that none of them is touching the bullseye. They're precise. They're repeatable. Over and over again, they're hitting nearly the exact same spot. You can be precise and do the same thing repeatedly over and over again. Now, in the middle here, what you see is something that's accurate, but it's not precise. The shot grouping is spread out. They're not all right on top of each other, but there are some that have actually hit the bullseye. This is called accuracy by volume. When we simply keep firing shots and we hope accidentally to hit something, oh, maybe I'll stumble upon it. Maybe I'll happen upon it. Can I tell you that when we work by the wisdom of God, we don't have to be inaccurate. We can be very accurate with our life. When we allow God to distill down everything that we should be, it's not about doing more. Because if all you wanted to do was get three shots into the bullseye, imagine if you could just get three shots and every shot hit the bullseye. The other ones were a waste of time. What that means is that we need to have some economy of motion in our lives. In other words, it's not about doing more. Sometimes people do more because they don't know whether or not they're going to hit the bullseye. But if you knew that you could hit the bullseye every time, you don't have to do so much and you can be on target. Accurate, but not precise. The best way that you can possibly do it, be accurate and precise. Have a tight shot grouping that every time that you let one fly, every time that you add an activity, boom, it's right on target. It's right there on target, and you don't have to miss. When God, see, the Bible says that the steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. This is what it says in Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, in the Amplified version of the Bible. It says, the steps of a good man, and you can say good woman, good person, whatever, are directed and and established by the Lord.
So
that he delights in his way. And listen, he busies himself with every step. It's not just about being busy, it's about being busy doing the right things. Being busy doing the right things. You know, I've talked to many people over the years that I've worked with people, and believe me, in my line of work, I need to have good time management. And I've worked with lots of people throughout the years, and they're just like, I'm so busy. And sometimes we're so busy, it's like, I don't even know if I can go to church. I'm so busy. But you know, sometimes we're busy because we're not doing the right things. We're busy because every time the phone calls, we answer. We're busy because people that are dominating in our life, they call us up and they're like, hey, you want to go out? No, you've got to come with me. And when really you should stay home and you should do what you need to do. You end up going out with them. Sorry if I'm getting too close to home for somebody here today. But you end up going out with them and you do that thing, and then the thing that you really needed to do was not done. Sometimes we're just scattered and disorganized, and there's a whole lot of motion, but nothing being produced. Do you know that mental gymnastics and thinking about something over and over and over again is not the same as doing something? Well, I thought about it a lot. Well, here's the classic one. I'm planning to. Look, brother, if you've been planning for the last 5 years, and then not taking a single step, it's time to quit planning and take a step. Sorry, am I talking to somebody today? Planning ain't doing. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think that strategy and planning is incredibly important. In fact, it is the first step and demonstration of faith is to plan it out. But plan it, then do it. Don't just plan it for the rest of your life. Amen? You can talk to me later. I'll help you out. Don't just keep on planning. Do something. Listen. Let me tell you how to be fulfilled in your life. I'm going to tell it to you right now. This is how you get fulfillment in your life. Fulfillment comes from doing what you're created to do. I remember years ago when I was looking for a motorcycle and was looking at motorcycles. Sometimes I just like to look at things just for the heck of looking at things. And I remember there was somebody that was selling a BMW R1200 GS Adventure. Now, if you know anything about these motorcycles, by the way, I don't have one. I was looking at it because I thought it was a neat thing. These things have like an 8-gallon gas tank and they go a long, long ways. And they're meant to travel cross country. They got like a thing where you can plug in an electrified suit so that you can stay warm, or you can stay cool, or whatever. It's got heated hand grips and all these wonderful things. I mean, awesome motorcycle. But it's meant to go on-road, and it's also meant to go off-road. That's where the word adventure comes from in the title. And somebody was selling theirs, and their title was that it was like a 3-year-old motorcycle, and it said, never been in the rain, never been in the mud, never been on the open road like when weather, garage kept, and I'm thinking to myself, if this motorcycle could speak, it would say, why do you hate me so much? Why are you prohibiting me from doing what I was built to do? You know what I'm saying? This poor motorcycle, meant for adventure, kept in the garage. Your life might be like that. What is it that you're meant for, but that you're not doing? You see, fulfillment comes from doing what you were created to do, not from doing all the other mess. It's about doing what you were created to do. But I don't know what I was created to do, Pastor Jay. Can I tell you the best way to find out what you were created to do was to go to the one who created you to find out? Because if we have no frame of reference for what we are created for, we're liable to use that piece of machinery wrong. You don't know that a microwave is meant to hold, is meant to heat up food, you might just use it as a paperweight. But that's not what it's meant for. See, we might be using our life wrong. You know, sometimes when I go to the gym, I see people using pieces of equipment your personal coach for your life, because your life is not like anybody else's life. And you've got to go to the one who created you to find out how you can be fulfilled by doing the thing that you were created for. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's pretty good, pretty good. God, that's, it's good. I'm telling you how to get happy in your life. You are meant to enjoy life. Meant to enjoy life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 18 in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. It says this. Listen, this is what God has done. It says, now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Can you imagine if your thumb wanted to be a different digit? I mean, you just wouldn't be able to pick your nose the same way. Right? I mean, your thumb is meant to be an opposable thing, not on the same side as all the other fingers. It's meant to help you in that way. That, oh, I don't want to be a thumb, Lord. I want to be an index finger. I like pointing at things. I don't like being in opposition. I like to point at stuff. Hey, look. God knows what will fulfill you. And if you will simply submit to what you were created for, your life will be so enjoyable, you won't even know what to do. I want to talk to some people who are long-time Christians. I'm not going to ask you who you are. I want to talk to you for just a moment. Those of you that have been serving God for a long time, and when I say a long time, I mean like 3 years or more. Long time. We are called, this includes me, we are called to do more than come to church and be a good churchgoer. We are not meant to just be a churchgoer. If our Christianity consists of a Sunday morning service, and then we go out and we don't ever do anything about Christianity for the rest of the week, or if it's just a personal Christianity, I keep my Jesus at home with me in a little box, and then when I go home, I take Jesus out, I pet him a little bit, I put Jesus back in the box, and then I'll go out and do my other thing. Nobody else knows that I'm Christian. I'm a secret agent Christian. 007 Christian. But every time I go into a place where they got electronics, I switch all the radio stations to 95.5 The Fish. Please don't do that. Every time I go to a Christian event, I wear my Christian t-shirt. It's more than about wearing your Christian t-shirt. I do have to laugh sometimes. Not that you shouldn't have Christian t-shirts. Great, have Christian t-shirt. But if your shirt is more Christian than you are, you got problems. Everybody wear their Christian t-shirt in this small group. Like, hey, look, let's be real. How about our life being Christian? Whatever shirt you're wearing, that's a Christian shirt. See, we're not meant to be good churchgoers. We're meant to be good Christians. You know what Christians are? Christians are little Christs. We're small versions of Jesus. Jesus said it this way. These things, all the things that he did, like raising the dead, casting out devils, healing the sick, multiplying food for people, going to people's houses and visiting them, praying for them, helping them, I mean, giving them wisdom and insight, dropping truth bombs on them all the time. I mean, this stuff. He said, these things will you do. And get it, greater things than these, because I come to my Father. In other words, you've got an ally that's on your side. Can I tell you that you can do it?
Yeah.
You can do it. You can be just like Jesus. That's heresy, Pastor Dave. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. We're called to be a good Christian. That means doing the works of Christ. We're called to do the work of the ministry and be a minister in our personal world. So get this. Wherever you go, that's your personal world. And Jesus expects us, I'm going to use that word. He expects us to be a representation of Jesus to those that we meet around him. That means that in our workplace, we can do better. That means that in our school, we can do better. That means when we go and lift big weights at the gym, we can do better. That means that when we go out and we're at a hotel or whatever, we can do better. We have to be a representation of Jesus Christ, not just our church door. Can you say amen? By the way, ministry is not necessarily full-time ministry in the church. In other words, so many Christians have a paradigm that the ultimate Christian life is meant to be lived when I get hired on staff by my church. No. Do you know that nobody hired Jesus? But I'm pretty sure he was Jesus. I'm pretty sure that he was in full-time ministry. Do you know that wherever you go, you are in full-time ministry? When you're at home with your kids, you're in ministry to your kids. When you're at home, you're in ministry to your family. When you go to school, you are in full-time ministry to your teachers, to the administration, to the school students around you. When you go out onto the athletic field, you are a full-time minister by your behavior and the things that you do, the way that you address situations. You are a full-time minister in everything that you do. Well, I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus at my workplace. Don't talk about Jesus. Be Jesus. It's more than a Christian teacher. I'll preach a message called that one day. It's more than a Christian teacher. This is what it is. This is what Christianity looks like. It is being an example and a reflection of Christ to the world around you. This is what it looks like in a few ways. It is being an ambassador of Christ. Now think about that word for just a moment, ambassador. An ambassador for the United States has the ability and the power, the authority to represent our nation in decision-making, in negotiation, in being able to speak on behalf of. You see, when you're an ambassador of Christ, which the Bible does say, by the way, when you're an ambassador of Christ, you have the authority to speak on the behalf of Christ. So you get to walk into people's offices and people's lives and tell them, Jesus meant for you to enjoy life. Your life should be more enjoyable than this. You're not meant to have sickness or disease in your life. I just want to tell you that. You have the authority to say that. Because you're an ambassador of Christ. I don't have time. I've got to move on. It's about bringing people to Christ. You know why? Because Jesus was always bringing people to himself. He was totally doing that. He said, come and follow me. Can I let you know this even next week? Instead of just saying to somebody, hey, you want to come to church? Say it this way. Will you please come with me? Will you please come with me? It is a much more personal invite because they may not want to come, but they'll come with you. Jesus was saying, come and follow me. Being a Christian is being salt. It's being flavoring to the world around you. It's not just about what we say, although what we say matters. Because we ought to be the best encouragers, the best hope bringers. We ought to be the ones that are bringing the most truth in a situation. But we're meant to be seasoning to the world around us. You know, I love trying to bring some salt on it. It just makes it come alive. I'm not supposed to eat much red meat, so when I eat it, I really do enjoy it. Here's what being Christian is. It's being light. You know what light does? Light shines the way in the dark place. It gives understanding where understanding is lacking. It gives wisdom. It helps you so that you don't stub your toe on the stinking coffee table in the middle of the road that you know has been there for the last 30 years. But light helps you to see it, doesn't it? Because otherwise, you're feeling around your house with your big toe, and you know that your big toe doesn't like that job. Here's what we need to do. We need to not authorize low living. Low living. See, because you're meant for more. Your life is meant for more. So don't authorize low living when you're meant for high living. I'm not just talking about posh living. I'm talking about high living. I'm talking about a high quality of life. Not just a quantity of life, but a quality of life. Again, it's like adding life to your years. Somebody said it this way, and I don't know if this is exactly it, but they said it something like this. You can't soar with the eagles when you're surrounding yourself with turkeys. Some of you know about turkey friends. And you can't soar with the eagles if you're going to hang out with the chickens or the turkeys, emus, ostrich, penguins. You cannot get up above the storms of life like eagles do. You can't use adversity, because that's what eagles do. When there's storms coming, there's hot thermal convection. convection that's going, and they use that thermal convection to take them up. See, you can't do that when you're a turkey. You just gotta hunker down and hope you're gonna be all right. You gotta worry about the eagles hunting you when you're a turkey. Don't authorize low-level living in your life. Don't be a turkey. If I'm talking about both our lifestyle as well as our mindset. See, you can't score like an eagle when you've got the mindset of a turkey either. Because in the middle of the storm, the turkey's like, hunker down. It's the thought process, hunker down. But in the middle of the storm, the eagle's like, I'm going to get up higher. I'm going to get up above this thing. I'm going to take a better look at what's going on. You see, you can't have a turkey mindset and soar because it won't let you. So what's the thing? We've got to change this thing right here between our ears. See, because the thing is that the Bible told us, and we learned this last week, that the Israelites said we can't do it. In our own eyes, we're like grasshoppers. And so we were in their eyes. You know that God views you way better than you view you? It's the truth. God knows what you're capable of. He knows the way that he made you. He knows that you're made for more than what you're living now. And yet we choose to have a mindset that says, I can't. I want to point you to some scriptures without turning to them, but you've got to get these things in your heart that with men it is impossible, but not with God, who with God all things are possible. That means can't does not exist. You see, the Bible says that God is on your side looking for you to show himself strong on your behalf. Before you can even get to where you're supposed to be going, God is already there, already preparing the way for you. Look, there is no can't. Whatever God created you for, yes is the answer. You talk to all the people, and you've probably heard it said before, where it's like, while people are busy telling me I can't, I'm busy doing it. Right? Until they see it done, they might not believe it, but don't hang around them turkeys. Get away from the turkeys that are dream stealers in your life. Get around people, and let me say this, even better yet, become one of those people that tells other people you can. If God says, you can, I believe in you. There's some people, I don't tell them my dreams. You know why? Because then they'll just be like, that's stupid. Well, I'm not stupid. Don't get around those people. Don't share your dreams with those people. Share your dreams with the people that are like, I'm on your side. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to believe with you. By the way, I think it's awesome to have Nick with us here this morning. Woo! Doing amazing things. Great to have Stephen with us again. Don't let anybody tell you that God can't give you new lungs. He can. There is no can't. Listen, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. He says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You know why he can do that? Because he has them. So he can give them to you. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, listen, whatever you bind, not whatever he binds, whatever you bind on earth, will be bound already in heaven. And whatever you lose, it will already have been loosed in heaven. See, it's dependent on your work. Jesus is just like, yep, I agree with that. Oh, I hold him to that. I know he's capable of that. I know she's capable of that. And he's just waiting for you to say, yeah, I lose that in my life. Don't authorize low-level living. Whatever you tolerate, you are authorizing. Do not tolerate low-level living. Do not tolerate it. I want to be careful how I say this. Because if anyone's experiencing sickness or symptoms of brokenness in your body or in your mind or in your emotions, I understand the process and I understand where you're at. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But can I say this? That you are not meant for that. You are not built for that. Jesus was built for it. That's why he took it. And I want to tell you that don't give in to it. I'm not saying that you're not experiencing. I'm not experiencing it. I'm not telling you to say that you're to lie and say, no, I don't have any symptoms in my body at all. That's not faith. That's lying. but I do not agree that it has the right to stay in my body. I might be experiencing it now, but I'm saying no to that thing. I bind that thing in my life. I will not let it get one more cell in my body. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited because you understand it's in the power of your tongue to loose, to bind, to describe the life that you're willing to live. Whatever you tolerate, you authorize. Do not, please do not authorize low-level living in your life. This is what the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, listen, you can't just think it in your heart. Well, I just thought about that little mountain moving for you. No, that's not what the Bible says. You can't just take it and change it however you like it. Well, I'm not a very verbal person. Well, get verbal. You don't have to say much. Two words. Mountain move. That's all you got to say. It doesn't even say you got to scream it. It just says you got to mean it. Listen, whatever or whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart. How do you do that? You got to get the word of God in you saying it possibly. But believes that those things which he says will be done. He will have, listen, whatever he says. Careful what comes out of your mouth. You will have whatever you say. Why? I'm just back. You will have whatever you say. Don't tolerate low-level living. My metabolism? Well, I just got a low metabolism. Well, talk to your metabolism. Speed up in Jesus' name. Lord, what's your problem? I will not tolerate a low metabolism in Jesus' name. My cells were meant to operate optimally, and I will have a healthy body. I don't identify with those memes out there that it's like once you're 40 years old, that all you need is you need to start off your day with some Motrin. No! I'm 43 years old now, and I will not start my day with Motrin. I will not finish my day with Motrin either. I'm going to be in perfect health. Because I'm not going to tolerate pain, sickness, or disease in my body. Now, I might be in a different place of understanding than you are, but that doesn't mean you can't come along. I'm preaching this to you because Jesus wants you to enjoy life, and I cannot enjoy my life when it's not enjoyable to me. Now, if you enjoy that, you shall have whatsoever you say. I want to tell you that life and death is in the power of your tongue. That the Bible tells you that you can prescribe it because God gave you the keys. He gave you the keys. And this is one of the biggest ones of all. I'm almost done here today. And you're like, thank God, calm down. You're getting a little too excited. I'm excited about enjoying life. I'm excited about you enjoying the best life that you can possibly have. I don't want you to be the BMW R1200 GS Adventure sitting in the garage, never been in the rain in your life. Get out in the rain and play. Let me tell you what you're meant to have. I'm going to give you some scriptures because I'm not going to read them. I'm going to give you the citations. You should look them up. You are meant to have these following things. Number one, you are meant to have promotion. Do you know that living your life to the full includes you having promotion? In your business, in your relationships, the Bible says about Jesus that he grew in stature and in favor with God and with man. You know what that is? Promotion. The Bible says that if the devil had assigned people to kill Jesus, that the whole world would have believed. The whole world is a lot more than just Jerusalem. Can I tell you that's promotion? You are meant to have promotion. And if you don't believe that you're meant for promotion, you're going to be all right tolerating your position. Be content. Do not be satisfied. You are meant to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You are meant to be promoted. Favor ain't fair, as my friend said. When the favor of God is on you, you're going to have promotion above other people. You might skip over people. Don't feel bad. Just bring them to Jesus. This fellow, hey, you want promotion? Let me show you how. His name is Jesus. You might skip right over people. Favor ain't fair, baby. Show people how to get favor in life. You're meant for promotion. Number two, you are meant for health in your body. I'm not going to turn there, but I'm going to basically quote these scriptures to you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 says this, that Jesus bore our sickness and our diseases on the cross. At the same time, at the same time that Jesus was on the cross, he not only took your sin, because everybody can believe for Jesus to take their sin, but somehow we have a disconnect between Jesus taking our sin because we don't see it, feel it, or experience it in so many ways. It's a virtual thing. But when it comes to sickness and disease in our body, it's like, it's present. I believe that feeling more than I believe the Word of God. I trust that twinge of pain more than I trust the Word of God. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying this is what happened. Jesus took our sickness and our disease on the cross. Matthew 8:17 tells us that he has borne the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He bore our griefs and our sorrows on the cross. I'm so glad it says it that way, because not only did he pay for our sickness and disease in our physical body, but our grief that's emotional, our sorrow which is emotional, it's mental, it's all the things. He paid for us completely to live in health. You know how much health Jesus paid for? He paid for so much health that you would be full. You know what full means? No room for anything else. That means you don't have room for sickness or disease in your body. There's just no room for it. I'm full already. You ever try to get a hotel room at a hotel that's fully booked? Jesus did. He ended up in a manger. But you see, there's no room in my body. I'm not going to tolerate it. I don't have room for you. I don't have time for you, sickness. I'm going to be healed in Jesus' name. What if I say it and it doesn't work? Say it again. What if I say it again and it doesn't work? Stand on the Word of God. Faith not wavering in Jesus' name. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited because Jesus paid for my health. He paid for me to not have to get sick. It's flu season. I do not want to get sick. I don't care what season it is. Just like in Hawaii, we don't really participate in winter. Sending all my friends snapshots of my sunburn in the middle of December. When they're up in the great white north, you know, trying to thaw out their feet before they get frostbite. And I'm over here trying to work on the sunburn. It's important to realize you don't have to participate. It might be flu season, opt out. You know, Jesus paid for us to have perfect peace in our minds and in our hearts. You can look that one up. The Bible tells us that God would keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stable in perfect peace. You know what that means? That means there's no trace of imperfection. No chicken corner, no weak link in your chain. It is perfect peace. You need that. How many of you think that your life would be more enjoyable with perfect peace? You need to have it. You need it. Joy, that is full. Jesus paid for you to have your joy full. Full. Not like my wife's vehicle on gasoline with the light on. You're not meant to drive through life with the joy light on. Bring. You are meant to drive with it full. And when you start to get to 3/4 of a tank, you should start looking for a fill-up station. You know what I'm saying? You're meant to live full all the time. If you're not full, how are you going to give out to other people? The most selfish way we can live this life is only having enough for ourselves. We need to have more than enough for other people. I'm almost done. Sorry, guys. I'm getting a little carried away. A little excited. Righteousness. You are meant to have righteousness. Righteousness is a position that Jesus gives you. You know what that means? That means you don't have to come into church groveling on the floor and say, oh, this game, I'm such a worm. No, Jesus paid for you to be righteous. He paid you to be righteous. It's a gift. It's like I didn't earn the birthday gifts that my family gave me, but I received them. It's the same way with righteousness. Jesus paid for the gift. You get it for free. Righteousness. Finally. And this is not an exhaustive list, by the way. These are just some of the highlights. Jesus paid for you to have holiness. Holiness is not about your position, it's about your lifestyle. And Jesus paid for you to be able to live a holy life. That means that everything that you do, you can do holiness. You can do holiness. You can walk right with Jesus. You can say the right things. You can think about the right things. You can do the right things. You can be Jesus and skin on to the people around you. Quote, amen. Holiness in your lifestyle. By the way, I want you to know that one of those scriptures right there says this, that without holiness, you cannot see the Lord. We need holiness. If we want Jesus to be the Lord in our life, we need to tend towards holiness. Not just righteousness, but holiness. If God wants you in a negative-looking situation around you, I want you to do this. Submit to it. So here it is. If you're in a nasty situation right here and right now, this is where we get to the nitty-gritty. Right here and right now, if you're in a nasty situation, this is the question that you've got to ask the Lord. Lord, is this where you want me to be? Here's the thing. Jesus says yes. Submit to it. There's something that you're going to get out of that situation. But you're going to know what it is that you get out of that situation when you come out. Submit to it. Don't fight it. Because otherwise, if God wants you there and you fight that nasty situation, you're fighting God himself. When he knows how he created you and what he wants you to go through to refine you into who you're supposed to be. Here's the flip side of that same coin. If God doesn't want you in that nasty situation, then fight with everything that you've got to get out of that situation as quickly and as decisively as possible. Let's use a real practical example. If we're in debt, nasty debt. We got to ask ourselves a question and ask the Lord the question, Lord, do you want me in this position? And when God says no, then what we do is not run to the store, buy a new handbag. Guys, what, even for your life, what we should do is we should claw and fight with everything in a sweet peanut butter jelly sandwich. Whatever you got to do, I mean, you know, growing up, it was peanut butter jelly sandwich on the hot dog buns that were left over from the pop-up that we got in the week before. But my parents were able to put a down payment on the house because we ate that. If that's what you need to do, stop going out for food. You know what I'm saying? Then fight and claw and scrape against everything that God has not meant for you to have. I'm going to get a little bit personal with some of y'all. You guys all right? If you have sickness or something going on in your body, I know that Jesus doesn't want you to have it. You can ask him if you want to, but I know because Jesus paid for it already. He doesn't want you to double pay. You ever get to double pay something? That sucks. It's terrible. Don't double pay. So since Jesus already paid for it, he's like, no, I don't want you to take that. I don't want you to hold on to it. I got this. Right? No sense putting your credit card on somebody else to put their credit card to. That's your payoff at the end of the month. As evident. And Jesus already paid for it, right? So I know that Jesus doesn't want you to have any kind of sickness in your body. I know this. So if you've got sickness, disease, whatever in your body, can I tell you this? As uncomfortable as it might be, change. Do something to make that fight. Claw, do not go quietly into said grave. Don't do it. Fight it. And make any adjustments that you need to make. I'm talking to you from somebody who needed to make some lifestyle changes myself. I still have to make lifestyle changes. And you know what? I'm making the changes. But we've got to make changes. Don't tolerate low-level living. Don't do it. Let Jesus have it. But if it ain't God slaying you, kill it first. Right? Don't allow it. Don't allow it in your life. Don't tolerate anything that's not God. Is it going to manifest for you immediately? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not God. God's God. But I will tell you this. Do what the Bible says to do, and you'll get what the Bible says you'll get. We have to do it. We have to believe it. Lord, I'm not going to be sick. My confession is that germs die when they touch me. I was telling somebody this morning, I'm not afraid of sickness. Sickness is afraid of me. You know why? Because when I pray for the sick, they shall recover. They're like, you know what? I like it here. Don't get out. I'm the eviction guy. Why? Because that's how Jesus made me. Amen? By the way, he made me like that too. Here's one last thing. Thank you for allowing me. I hope you really got something out of this. I hope that this changed your life radically forever, and that you enjoy your life more than you've ever enjoyed it, walking in the principles of God. Just one thing. You are made for more than you are experiencing right now. You better believe that. You're made for more than you are experiencing right now. So what do you do? Let's ask God for His way and live our ultimate life starting today. Who can you say this with me? I'm going to live my ultimate life starting today. I'm not going to tolerate low-level living. I am meant for more than this. I am content, but I am not satisfied. I will have whatever I say. I'm going to agree with God's word, and He'll have His way in my life. In Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray right now that you just bless everyone in this room, everyone that's listening on the internet and around the world. God, I pray right now that this word would hit home for them, that they will not tolerate one more moment of living the needs of their privileges that were paid for and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that sickness and disease would be a thing of the past within the church, and that everyone that comes from the outside to get healed will experience the health and the life that Jesus has designed us to live in. God, I pray that everyone would find their accuracy, that they would find their precision in that, that they wouldn't just do more